The first reading from 2 Kings prepares us for the miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fishes in the Gospel. Elisha, in Old Testament times, was able to feed, by God's grace, 100 men with 20 barley loaves and some fresh grain. Now, in the Gospel of St. John, the crowd, being hungry, is fed by the apostles. Firstly, Philip, the social media guru of the apostolic band, is always making connections, but on this occasion falls short. However, it's Andrew, the pragmatic one, who finds the boy with the food basket. Note that Jesus takes the two fish and five loaves and feeds the thousands once they were seated. You see, we shouldn't be eating on the go. We should sit and eat. And once they'd fed and eaten all they could eat, the scraps remaining were collected, which amounted to 12 baskets full. Nothing of God's grace is ever wasted. Now, some church fathers, scripture scholars, being imbued with a sense of numerology, noted that two fish, not three or four, the two represented the two natures in Christ, truly God and truly man. As God, he multiplied the fish quota. As man, he had the apostles do the legwork. The five loaves, on the other hand, remind us of the five wounds in the body of Christ that won our salvation. Now, whatever we make of that, what is important is that Jesus, the Lord, feeds our souls. Back then, their bodies were fed, but today, he nourishes our spiritual well-being in a somewhat miraculous way through the sacrament of the Blessed Eucharist. Today, we come to his church to be fed. The same Lord who stood on the mount and fed his hungry people. But we've not come to fill our empty stomachs, but rather our empty soul with the bread of life. Souls are fed with this supernatural food of immortality, the pledge of eternal life. Did not Jesus say, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you shall not have life in you"? So we accept this gift, this sacrament that is given to us by the Lord. We accept it and we receive it humbly. Why? Because all gifts ought to be received with humility from the giver. We never have a right to a gift. It's not something we own, but something we receive, given by another, and in this case, God, to feed and nourish our souls. This notion of acceptance or receiving the gift and having a healthy and holy respect for it has sometimes been misappropriated in recent times. Last year, with the COVID restrictions plaguing our planet, somewhat like the present time, we saw some extraordinary moments where people, in their want of spiritual food, thought that they had the right to take the host no matter what. And some did so in a rather profane manner. I won't go into details, but there was a lack of respect for this gift of the Blessed Sacrament. In response, this happened in Latin America, one bishop exclaimed, "Well, look, what's the issue? You know, it doesn't matter how they get the Eucharist, as long as they get it. You know, and after all, Jesus, did he not say at the Last Supper, 'Take and eat my body'?" "Yes, well, he did, but not in that fashion." In response, I'd like to make two points. The first is this. I know that Jesus spoke those words, "Take and eat my body," but he spoke them not to just anybody, but only to the apostles. The apostles were ordained Catholic bishops on that occasion, and therefore they had the privilege of being ministers of the sacrament. Note too, and the miracle we've just heard, with the feeding of the multitude, it wasn't just anyone who passed around the food, but only the apostles. So there is a degree of delegation here. Secondly, and it's a linguistic problem here, how we translate words. Jesus, did he say the words, "take my body," at the Last Supper? No, he didn't. That's an English rendition of the words he spoke. More than likely, he spoke in Aramaic, a dialect of Hebrew. And when the apostles or evangelists wrote down what happened on that occasion, they wrote in Greek. So we have the Greek words for that event in Jerusalem. And employed to take or receive is lambanine. And when that's translated into the Latin, it becomes a cipere. In English, it can be receive, accept, or in some cases, take. I would hold that the better word to be employed is not take, but rather receive my body, receive my blood. Why? Well, it's more consistent with the gifts given by God. And we have no trouble employing the word receive for another occasion when the same Greek verb is used. On Holy Thursday, our Lord used that Greek verb, lambanine, and then on Easter Sunday night, in the same room, in the same place, with the same people, he spoke the same verb. He appeared to the apostles. He wanted to give them the sacrament of penance. He breathed on them and then said, lambanine, receive the Holy Spirit. Whatever sins you remit, they are remitted. Notice we translate the verb, the same verb, as receive or accept. Because you don't take the Holy Spirit, you accept the Holy Spirit. It's a gift given. So, translations can vary, and we need to always look for the best word, the most appropriate word. In all of the Eastern churches, the Slav Church, Ukrainian, Romanian, Ruthenian, right through the Eastern Bloc, they've never translated the word in Greek, lambanine, as take. It's always been receive. And I think in Old English texts, it was also receive. So let us be mindful of that. Gifts are given, and we accept them or receive them. You don't take a gift. You wait till it's offered. But in recent years, liturgists have opted to use the word take instead. That being the case, the point being made, we move on. One person who did accept God's gifts in a very humble way and had tremendous love for God's grace was Ignatius of Loyola. However, he had to learn to appreciate these gifts in a hard way. Born in 1491 at Loyola in Spain, he died on the 31st of July in 1556. St. Ignatius, who founded the Jesuits, always walked with a slight limp. Why? Because he was injured as a soldier at Pamplona in northern Spain during a battle. That injury led to a long and difficult recuperation. He had a conversion and realized that he ought to serve God rather than a royal court. Rather than being a human knight, he wanted to be knights or soldiers of God. And that propelled him into a journey that would lead him to Rome. He had a tremendous and abiding devotion to Christ, especially in the Eucharist. And once having established the Company of Jesus, or the Soldiers of Jesus, known as the Jesuits, he wanted as their emblem an image of the host. A host with rays coming from it, symbolizing the graces that God gives us in this sacrament. And in the middle of that image, he put the three letters IHS, which can stand for Jesus' Saviour of Humanity. But it also could mean the first three letters of the name of the Lord. That was central to him, as was God in his life. Ignatius always had tremendous love for the gifts that God gives us in the sacraments. May we, in our Holy Communion, also have that same humility and love, and grant to each one of us an internal healing and strength, and may call forth from our hearts a generosity which will cause us to give ourselves to one another and to all who hunger for love.